one of the big issues of the day is the Second Amendment. And a lot of conservatives held their nose and they voted for Donald Trump because of his promise to appoint conservatives to the Supreme Court. The left was gleeful that this was going to be their big opportunity to roll back the Second Amendment, because they've tried to do it through executive order. It fell flat. Legislation didn't go anywhere. So they looked and said, by judicial fiat, we are going to be able to roll back the Second Amendment. And that was their big plan. It was their big push. With Donald Trump there, that disappears. There is no better advocate for the Second Amendment or the data or science behind it, behind the logic and the promise of the Second Amendment, than John Lott Jr., and we are privileged to have him on the show. Hey, John, thank you for joining us today.
Well, thanks very much for having me on.
You know, I am a big fan of yours. Your research has, it's won so many legislative battles. When those who try to limit the Second Amendment or come out against the Second Amendment, they try to argue on emotion, but you really present the facts. So thank you for your work in this area, sir.
Well, thanks. It's very nice of you to say that.
The first set of facts that I read that you prepared, John, was about gun-free zones. And that was the rage. I guess it was back in the 80s, maybe the 90s. Everybody was staking out these gun-free zones. And it sounds good, and it sounds wonderful, and it sounds like you're protected, but you've done some research which really show that's not the case. Can you walk the audience through that?
Right. Well, in fact, the opposite's the case. You know, it's understandable. People think if they just go and ban guns from different areas, that that's going to make people safer in those areas. The problem is that the people who obey those laws tend to be the good, law-abiding citizens, and that rather than stopping criminals or killers from bringing guns into those areas, it actually serves as an incentive. It actually is a magnet for them to go and bring in weapons. And, you know, I suppose the easiest way to think about this is that if, God forbid, you had somebody who was stalking or threatening you or your family, would you feel safer putting a sign in front of your home that said this home is a gun-free zone? I don't think anybody would do that, put a sign like that up, and the reason is pretty obvious that they wouldn't do that, that putting a sign there would simply encourage the criminal to attack because they know it'd be relatively easier for them to go and attack in those places because they would have less to worry about in terms of somebody being able to go and stop them. But, you know, what we find is that since at least 1950, with over 98% of the mass public shootings that have occurred in the United States have taken place in those areas where general citizens aren't allowed to have guns to be able to go and protect themselves. And, you know, and it's just not true in the United States. All the mass public shootings in Europe have occurred in similar places. And, you know, it's basically the fact that these killers many times leave records about why they picked the particular targets that they did. And, you know, just this spring we had a case of in Detroit where a father was concerned about his son's involvement with ISIS. He had told the FBI. The FBI put a tap on his phone. And they have a recording of him explaining to a compatriot why he was picking one of the largest churches in the Detroit area to go and attack. And that was because he said it would be easier for him to go and kill lots of people before anybody would be able to be there to stop him. In fact, just to give you an idea of the mindset of this individual, he had gone and checked to see where the nearest police stations were and had actually driven the distance from the police stations to the church to get an idea how long it would take for police to be able to arrive on the scene. But, you know, it's not just this. You look at last year, you have cases every place from the Charleston church shooting to the diary that was released last year for the Aurora Batman movie theater shooting and the Lafayette movie theater shooting also last year. You had at the Charleston church shooting, his first target was going to be Charleston College. And it was only when he looked into it and saw the amount of armed security that they had there at the school. They decided not to go. For the Batman movie theater shooter, his diary indicated that his first target was going to be an airport, until he had looked into the amount of security that they had there and realized that, you know, they would stop him before he was going to be able to go and kill many of the people that he wanted to go and kill. You know, the year before, you have cases like the Santa Barbara shooting, and, you know, reading the 141-page manifesto that the killer had put out, where he goes into explicit, excruciating detail about what were his original targets. And his original target was going to be spring break, until he'd gone to a local library and looked to see the number of police that were there by looking at old video news coverage of those events. I mean, I could go on for a long time just going through these things, but it's one thing is clear is these killers aren't stupid. They want to go and kill as many people as possible because they know the more people they can kill, the more news attention that they can get. And they try to pick those places where people aren't able to go and stop them.
We are talking to John R. Lott Jr., PhD. His new book, The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. John, we have to go to break. When we come back, I want to talk to you. Detroit, Chicago, deaths by guns are skyrocketing, even though these cities have some of the toughest gun control laws on the books. And I want the bottom line from you. Why is that happening? When we come back, more with John Lott Jr. We'll be back right after this break. Hey, we are on the line with John R. Lott Jr., PhD, the author of The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. John, I have to ask you this because, you know, Chicago has just broken another record in terms of the number of people who have been killed by guns in the city for this year. And they have, I live in Philadelphia, we have strict gun control laws. Chicago, I think, is even stricter. Is it just me, or it's clear that these gun control restrictions aren't working? Would the city of Chicago be better off allowing more guns into the city, or is that insanity too?
Well, I mean, Chicago, the big problem that Chicago has is with the police, right, that they have right now over the last few years. I mean, it is difficult to go and get a concealed handgun permit in Illinois. It costs you roughly around $500 to go through the process in doing it, compared to Pennsylvania, where you're talking about $20 to go through the process to get a concealed carry permit. And what that does is it prevents the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime, poor blacks, from being able to afford a gun for protection. And that makes a big difference. But the big problem in Chicago is that when Rahm Emanuel became mayor, he did lots of things. He cut the number of police. He eliminated gang units in the city. He eliminated the detective bureaus that were in the high crime parts of the city and moved the detectives to the low crime areas where he had made political promises to do that. I mean, those are the real problems that are there. And, you know, if you have to decide where to put police and detectives, you put them in where the crime is. You don't put them across the city and make them have to travel 45 minutes or an hour to get to where the crimes occur. And, you know, those are the real problems that have happened with the changes in the last few years, or last, you know, 6 or 7 years in Chicago. And, you know, and you can see it. One example is nationwide, 63% of murders result in arrest. When Emanuel became mayor, it was like 34% of murders in Chicago result in arrest. It was already very low. But the last year that I've seen numbers for, it was like 23% of murders in Chicago resulted in arrest. I mean, that's just abysmal. I mean, if you have a rate of arrest that's like one-third for the rest of the country, for people who engage in arrests, you know, it's not too surprising that they're going to have an increase in murders occurring. And, you know, you can do things. You can make it so that the people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime can defend themselves. You can, I mean, it's ridiculous that people have to pay that much money. But and that's just some of the regulations. So if you want to get a concealed handgun permit, you have to get 16 hours of training in Illinois. But what they've done is there's no facilities to train in the city of Chicago, and it's illegal to go and carry a even a licensed gun with you in public transportation. So if you're a poor person, you have to go and get training for multiple days. You have to figure out some way to travel well outside the city to be able to go and get and something other than public transportation in order to go and get that training. It's like they do everything possible to make it so that the most vulnerable people are unable to go and defend themselves.
John, I could talk to you all day. We have time for one more question. Utah just went through a big debate, and they've just made it the open carry here in the state for handguns. Do you have any research that suggests the state is better off or people are less safe because of open carry?
I guess I'm not a huge open carry fan. I mean, I understand a lot of people want to go and make a statement. But, you know, here's the deal. The best comparison I can make is to police. If you put police in order to go and guard a target against possible terrorist attack, they have a virtually impossible job. Having a police officer in uniform is like putting somebody with a neon sign telling the terrorist or the killer, shoot me first. And that's, in fact, what you see happening, whether it be the Charlie Hebdo attack in Paris last year. The first person killed was the police officer who was guarding the magazine. I can give you lots of cases from the United States where the same type of thing happens. And having somebody openly carry, in some sense, puts them at similar risk. If an attack is going to occur, they'll be the first people attacked. And it's impossible to be cognizant of an attack that could come from any angle. Now, there will be cases where a criminal will see somebody's openly carrying and they'll just let them go by and then go and attack the next person that comes by. But, you know, to me, the point of having people carry guns is to try to lower crime generally. And I think you're going to get the most bang from that, from having concealed carry permits. And my own looking at other states indicates that there are very few people who will openly carry a gun. The vast majority of people who carry, carry concealed. And I think part of the reason is not only kind of social stigma, but also some of the points that I just raised.
Thanks, John. We are talking to John Lott. He is the author of The War on Guns, Arming Yourself Against Gun Control Lies. John, I could talk to you all day. Thank you. To the audience, if you buy one book about guns this year, great Christmas gift, great holiday gift for any gun enthusiast or someone who's just interested in knowing what's the truth behind gun control. Great book. John, thank you for joining us.
Oh, thanks. The War on Guns. I appreciate it very much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.